RTVE Audio. Descarga la nueva app y disfruta de los programas de RNE y nuestros podcasts originales.
Radio Exterior de España.
English Language Service.
Esto le suena a todo el mundo. No hay nada más universal que el comienzo de una novela que dice: en un lugar de La Mancha, de cuyo nombre no quiero acordarme, no ha mucho tiempo que vivía un hidalgo de los de lanza en astillero, adarga antigua, rocín flaco y galgo corredor. Una olla de algo más vaca que carnero.
The 23rd of April was World Book Day, which is still being celebrated, the same as it is every year, with the reading of Don Quijote in the Círculo de Bellas Artes in Madrid.
Don Quijote de la Mancha by Miguel de Cervantes is sometimes labeled as the first modern novel ever written, and it is one of the biggest prides of the Spanish language. This year's public reading was started off by Luis Mateo Díaz, who won this year's Cervantes Prize, and it lasts 48 hours straight. Anyone who passes by is invited to read a passage.
And in Madrid's Prado Museum...
W prowincji Mancha, w pewnym miasteczku, którego nazwy przypomnieć teraz nie chcę...
En un lugar de la Mancha, de cuyo nombre no quiero acordarme...
Somewhere in La Mancha, in a place whose name I do not care to remember... A gentleman lived not long
Tourists
ago.
Were requested to read the famous opening line in their own language.
World Book Day is celebrated all over Spain, and in Catalonia, the day of San Jordi requires you gift a loved one a book and a rose.
The 23rd of April, in fact, is also the day of the Spanish language.
Nuestra lengua común se configura como un inmenso espacio diáfano que traspasa fronteras e integra las variedades, las tradiciones y los imaginarios de todos los territorios en los que se desenvuelve.
Spain's King Felipe VI said, "Our common language integrates variety, traditions, and the imaginations of all the territories it is spoken in." Spanish is the second most widely spoken language in the world, with about 500 million native speakers, mainly in the Americas and in Spain, and about 600 million when including second language speakers.
And today we broadcast from Spain in English, as we do here at the English Language Broadcast, connecting in our own way Spanish to all of you out there.
Today we have help from sound technician David Muñoz and production help from Cristina Dorado.
Later on in the broadcast we will be learning about a unique photography exhibition in Spain's central bank, El Banco de España. But first, the news.
Spanish news. Spanish authorities were put on alert on Thursday after the escape of the head of the Dutch Mocro Mafia from custody. The mafia head, Karim Buya Cristian, was arrested in Marbella for drug trafficking in January, but he was being prepared to be extradited to the Netherlands.
There he is considered one of the most dangerous criminals in the country. Head of the criminal organization that has threatened the Princess of the Netherlands and the Prime Minister. In fact, a week ago, it was known that the Princess Amalia of the Netherlands actually spent a year in Spain after receiving threats to her safety.
Karim Buya Cristian was out on probation but failed to appear before the judge for his last appointment on the 15th of April. A warrant has since been put out for his arrest. Spain's justice minister said that the news of his disappearance was worrying, but he trusted the mafia head would soon be found.
The government of the Canary Islands of the coast of Africa reached an agreement with the central government about the modification of the migration law earlier this week.
The objective of the law is to allocate migrant minors into other regions of the country when the Canary Islands exceeds 150% of its reception capacity. That is 3,000 people. Fernando Clavijo, regional minister,
precisamente para prevalecer o para que prevalezca el interés general del menor.
Precisely so that the minor's general interests prevail, and so those children, who could be our children, our grandchildren, our siblings, nieces or nephews, can be attended, and we can guarantee the better future integration and the possibility to build a life, which is what they're looking for. Currently, there are more than 5,500 unaccompanied minors in the Canary Islands. On Tuesday, Spain's government approved the plan to compensate victims of sexual abuse in the Catholic Church, whose cases prescribed.
The measure was included in the report released by the Spanish Ombudsman back in October and aims to prevent new abuses and repair the damage done to the victims. Minister of the Presidency Félix Bolaños announced a symbolic compensation in the form of a public act and a material economic compensation which would be funded by the Catholic Church.
Y nuestra idea es hacerlo en colaboración de la mano con la Iglesia Católica. Ya hemos iniciado.
Our idea is to do it in collaboration with the Catholic Church. I have already met the new president of the Spanish Episcopal Conference, and I would like for the government to work with the Catholic Church in the reparation of these abuses committed in its field.
Shortly after this announcement, the Spanish Episcopal Conference released a statement disagreeing with this plan. They assured the text condemns the whole Catholic Church and constitutes a public and discriminatory signalling. They also consider that by focusing on the abuses on the church only, government ignores the majority of the victims of sexual abuse at large.
The plan also includes measures to educate and protect vulnerable people, guarantee safe places and legal assistance, and reinforce the aid system for all victims of sexual abuse.
Amnesty International consider that human rights are going through a critical moment as published in the report The State of the World's Human Rights. Agnes Callamar, president of Amnesty International.
Amnesty International's position is that while the protection and the security of population is indeed an obligation for government, so is the protection of international norm and international law regarding freedom of expression, freedom of association, freedom of movement.
The report mentions the situation in Gaza and Haiti, the killing of civilians in armed conflicts, gender violence and climate change. They also warn Spain about the gravity of the tragedy in Melilla in 2022, where hundreds of migrants died trying to jump the fence that divides Melilla and Morocco, and the death of elders in public residences during the COVID-19 pandemic.
Amnesty International points at Israel for not abiding to international law in their offensive in the Gaza Strip, as well as the USA and Russia for blocking the Security Council of the United Nations to defend their interests.
These justification of violations are something we have not seen before to such an extent. And those justifications, along with the inability or the unwillingness of the Security Council to act according to its mandate, are making us conclude that the international system is on the brink of collapse.
And the USA has approved a military aid package of around $61 billion for Ukraine. After 6 months of blockade, the package was finally approved with 79 votes, Chuck Schumer, Senate Majority Leader.
And to the whole world, rest assured, America will never shrink from its responsibilities as a leader on the world stage. Today, tonight, we make Vladimir Putin regret the day he questioned American resolve.
Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky thanked the USA. This vote reinforces America's role as a beacon of democracy and the leader of the free world, he posted on X, formerly Twitter.
The package also includes aid for Israel and Taiwan. Meanwhile, U.S. funding for UNRWA continues on suspension due to their alleged links to Hamas, something that is yet to be proven by Israel.
Here in Spain, a majority in Congress approved the proposal to increase funding to the agency, especially during this exceptional situation and the suspension of aid from other countries.
You're listening to Spanish National Radio.
You're tuned to the English Language Service of Spanish National Radio.
And we'd like to remind listeners that you can get in touch with us via email at the address english@rtve.es. And you can also send us WhatsApp voice notes to the number 34680-688-698. And we especially enjoy receiving letters and postcards, which you can send to RNE, Casa de la Radio, Avenida Radio y Televisión 4, postal code 28223, Madrid, Spain.
Something we can imagine but rarely picture. Photography was invented in the 19th century, and years would pass before cameras and photography were something readily available to the public. But the wealthy, along with some institutions, were the first to have access to the technology. Spain's central bank is the Banco de España, founded in 1782 by King Charles III. Its headquarters are located in the center of Madrid, and its archives contain centuries of history. The archives kept by the bank involve information about the bank, its branches, its buildings, and its employees. And documents from the last quarter of the 19th century onwards are illustrated with photographs. The archivists at the Banco de España have spent recent years cataloguing all the photographs found within their archives that illustrate the history of the bank, but also the history of Spain and its people, as well as the history of photography itself, with its changing quality and aesthetics. And a selection of these photographs are now available to the public in an exhibition that opened at the beginning of this month, and that will be open until the 20th of July. The Photographic Archive of the Banco de España. We are currently in a building with years of history that have been captured in images, which are shown in this new exhibition, the Photographic Archive of the Banco de España, which recently opened. We're going to learn all about it from its curators, Elena Serrano.
Hello.
And Patricia Alonso.
Hello.
Well, first of all, thank you so much for joining us at the English Language Broadcast. My first question would be, where have these photographs come from?
Okay, the photographs come from the administrative files of the Banco de España Historical Archive. Mainly, they come from different types of files related to the bank's building, employees' personal files, and events organization files.
So was there a photography department within the bank?
There was a photographic laboratory inside the building that operated intermittently between 1903 and 1984. Initially, it was linked to the banknote factory because photography supported the banknote engraving process. Banco de España had only three photographers on staff who worked at different periods between 1903 and 1984.
So we're talking about these dates, 1903, 1984. How old is the Banco de España?
Banco de España has a long history. Its first predecessor was Banco de San Carlos, founded in 1782. Followed by Banco de San Fernando in 1829, which changed its name to Banco de España in 1856.
Okay, so a very long history. Where have all of these photographs been up until now?
The photographs were found in their original files in the historical archive because the photograph was one more document inside the files. When the archival treatment project of the photograph collection was carried out, the photographs were traced, extracted from the original files, and properly described. They are currently stored in envelopes and conservation boxes in a deposit where temperature, humidity and light are controlled to improve their long-term preservation.
And now they're being shown in this exhibition. So where did the idea to display them come from?
The archivists have always had the idea of exhibiting them because we have been very aware of the value that these photographs had for the society and for specialized researchers. On the other hand, the documentary collections of the archives are available to researchers, and the archives must carry out active dissemination activities, including exhibitions. Photographs have a historical, documentary, but also aesthetic and artistic value that makes them very suitable to be exhibited and appreciated by a wide public.
Yes, what you just said, that they have this value, this artistic value. This exhibition sets up these photographs as a way to also like study history from the perspective of the photographs. So what have we been able to learn from these photos?
From these photos, we can learn about buildings of Banco de España throughout history, as well as their transformations, the buildings that no longer exist, and the profound changes in the urban environments in which they are located. Banco de España came to have 70 branches in Spain and 3 agencies in Morocco, Tangier, Tetuán and Larache, and 3 more in London, Paris and Berlin. We can also learn about the evolution of the photographic portrait from 1905 to 1950, the changes in the traits and in the appearances of the employees, the different public events in which Banco de España has participated, and its growing relations with national and international agents from 1934 to the present.
Okay, so I understand that a lot of the photos, they're all connected to the Bank of Spain. So we've got the photos, the portraits are of workers that worked here. So the photos of the employees can be a basis for a sort of sociological study, as you mentioned, fashions, changing fashions, things like that. What kind of people have been employed over history by the Bank of Spain?
Banco de España staff has evolved with history. Many jobs have changed deeply, even disappeared due to the technological changes. Jobs such as stoker or watchman no longer exist. Sociocultural changes have also affected the workforce. The first women joined the company in 1901, but the most important incorporation took place during the Civil War, because the men had to go to the front. Since then, women have been progressively incorporated in all the bank's positions. Until today, they outnumber men with 51% of the staff.
Wow, so more women than men. I guess I'm talking to two of those women. So do you think that the images changed based on the economy of the time, because this is a historical archive, these are photos throughout a historical period? So do you think we could find a change in the images in quantity or quality, maybe?
Yes. Photographs evolve as the photographic technique does, and it is out of doubt a reflection of the economic situation. The production of photographs increased as technology became simpler and cheaper, and increased progressively from the 1930s onwards. In the 60s and 70s, amateur production increased and the use of color photography became popular. However, it should be noted that color photography, which was born with a very obvious commercial purpose, has a much poorer long-term preservation than black and white photography.
I was wondering, we're talking about photos of the bank's buildings, of the employees. Are there any photographs within this exhibition that you found in the bank of things from beyond its walls and employees?
The photographs are linked to Banco de España insofar as they come from its archive, and the photographs have been generated as documents to facilitate the work of its employees. Banco de España had 70 branches and three agencies in Morocco and three more in Europe. So we will be able to see photographs not only of its buildings, but also of the cities in which the bank wanted to install its branches and needed to find a location where to build or rent a building, which allows us to know urban environments that today are very transformed. The photographs of public events involve prominent people from the world of economic and national and international politics, not only governors of other central banks, but also international organizations such as the IMF or the World Bank, ministers of economy and finance, diplomats, etc.
So now let's talk a little bit about the bank's transformation over the years and into current day. Where is the bank now with respects to all of this history that we're seeing in this exhibition?
Well, the most recent transformations of Banco de España can also be seen in the exhibition, where we can see photographs related to the latest extension of the building at the junction of Calle de Alcalá and Marqués de Cubas, built by the architect Rafael Moneo and inaugurated in 2006, as well as different images linked to the integration in the European system of central banks and the entry of the euro into Spanish monetary circulation in 2002. We can also see very current images that demonstrate the commitment of the Banco de España with financial education and gender equality.
Now, before you mentioned to me that this is an exhibition, it opened just last week and that it's having a lot of success and it's getting a lot of attention. So I was wondering if you had any idea of why exactly people are so interested in this exhibition.
We think this is a very unknown material and subject, and the photo is a very visual document that everybody loves. And because we show new things about our history, the history of Banco de España, and the history of Spain in a very long period of time.
So I guess you could say that people are very curious about this bank, this whole institution. So this is a chance for people to come inside and get a look and learn about something that people maybe don't really even think about that often. Well, thank you so much for talking with me, both Elena Serrano and Patricia Alonso, curators of this archival exhibition, Photographic Archive of the Banco de España. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, you too.
Thank you.
Exhibition Photographic Archive of the Banco de España will run until the 20th of July. You can also visit the Banco de España website, which is available in English, at colección.bde.es. On the webpage of this exhibition, there's actually something really worth taking a look at. The exhibition features a selection of the photographs from the Banco de España's archives, but a larger catalogue is available online, divided into architecture, faces, and economy. It's under the link Photographic Archive Catalogue, and if you're listening to us through our podcast, the link will be available in the description. I asked the two curators from the archive what their favorite photos were.
A mí me encantan las fotos de los edificios. O sea, me encantan las fotos de los edificios.
Elena Serrano told me her favorites were the photos of the buildings, specifically the photos of the branch in Barcelona, photos by a photographer, Puig Ferrant. It's a wonderful building, she said, and they're wonderful photos. ¿Y tú, Patricia?
Para mí los empleados son las fotos que más me gustan.
porque eran.
In turn, Patricia Alonso said her favorites were the photos of the employees. They're faces of people who are unknown for us and for all of our visitors. They show such a variety of faces, of jobs that have become obsolete, and they're taken by these Spanish photographers that are artists, and they're faces of anonymous employees that weren't destined to go down in history. Thanks to the work and the work that we've carried out, we've brought them into the light. And the photos are very artistic, as you've been able to see yourself. Again, that's the exhibition Photographic Archive Banco de España in Spain's Central Bank in Madrid. Now, personally, I like the photos of the employees best, too. There are some excellent poses and looks in there, and Marilyn, you had a look at the online catalogue with me. Which did you like best?
I like the employees' photos, too. I like that they were anonymous people, not the bosses or anything.
Yes, and they're really so artistic. These were essentially ID card photos, but some of them look like Renaissance paintings. And, well, that's all we have on the Banco de España for today. We're now also reaching the end of the broadcast. Now, to end the broadcast, the Princesa de Asturias Awards are annual awards given to exceptional individuals or organizations who do work in the realms of arts, humanities, and science. Today, we learned the name of this year's Princesa de Asturias de las Artes winner.
That's right. The arts prize went to Catalan singer-songwriter Joan Manuel Serrat.
Porque te quiero a ti, porque te quiero.
The songwriter is being awarded with this recognition at the age of 82. He has over 500 songs in his catalogue, over more than 40 albums. Some of these songs are the words of great Spanish poets, such as Lorca and Alberti, put to music. During the dictatorship, he was vocal about the injustices of the Franco regime and arrested multiple times. He was even exiled in Mexico for a time.
Of course, he is most universally loved for his music, both here in Spain and across the Atlantic in South America. He retired from the stage a year and a half ago, but still keeps himself busy. And this award is proof that he has touched the hearts of millions with his lyrics, both in Spanish and Catalan. Now, this song is Tu nombre me sabe a hierba. Your name tastes like grass.
Porque te quiero a ti, porque te quiero.
This is a compliment, of course. He's associating his lover's name with something natural and fresh.
Now we'll leave you with this song by Joan Manuel Serrat. You've been listening to the English language broadcast of Spanish National Radio with Amy Egan and Marilyn Quintana.
Today we've had help from sound technician David Muñoz and production help from Cristina Dorado.
We thank you for listening and hope you tune in for future broadcasts.
Porque te quiero a ti, porque te quiero. Cerré mi puerta una mañana y eché a andar. Porque te quiero a ti, porque te quiero. Dejé los montes y me vine al mar. Tu nombre me sabe a hierba, de la que nace en el valle a golpes de sol y de agua. Tu nombre me lleva atado en un pliegue de tu talle y en el bies de tu enagua. Porque te quiero a ti, porque te quiero. Aunque estás lejos, yo te siento a flor de piel. Porque te quiero a ti, porque te quiero. Se hace más corto el camino aquel. Tu nombre me sabe a hierba, de la que nace en el valle golpes de sol y de agua. Tu nombre me lleva atado en un pliegue de tu talle y en el bies de tu enagua. Porque te quiero a ti, porque te quiero. Mi voz se rompe como el cielo al clarear. Porque te quiero a ti, porque te quiero. Dejo esos montes y me vengo al mar.